So we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lazar and Le'ilu Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we are in the middle of discussing Mishnah Perek Gimel, Mishnah 17. If you remember, there are a bunch of pairs of relationships. We're just going to review the Mishnah briefly. Source number one on sheet one, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Imein Torah ein derech eretz, imein derech eretz ein Torah. Without Torah, there's no derech eretz. Without derech eretz, there is no Torah. We spent a shiur talking about that. Last week, we spoke about number two. Imein chachma ein yira, imein yira ein chachma. Without wisdom, there is no fear. Without fear, there is no wisdom. What we're going to start focusing on today, imein bina ein das, imein das ein bina. Without bina, there is no das, translated here as bina, understanding, das as knowledge, and then imein das, if there's no knowledge, there is no understanding. So we're going to try to understand, I guess, we're going to try to have some bina about the different explanations as to what the commentators say bina and das actually are, and then at some point we'll get to imein kemach ein Torah, imein Torah ein kemach. So take that same page and flip it on its side. So flip it to side B. On side B is where we're going to start understanding these commentaries, and we'll see how far we can get. We do have to finish by 10 today, so let's jump straight in. Skip source number 6, we'll play some triage. Go to source number 7, Rabbeinu Yonah. Im ein das ein bina. Remember, our main point today is we're going to try to see what these concepts mean. What's bina, what's das, how does it distinguish between chachma? So Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. Im ein das ein bina, shalosh mochos heim, v'nechlakim l'shlosha dvarim. So there's three separate concepts here. He calls it mochos, I assume it means three separate parts of the brain. Three separate types of intelligences, if you will. Chachma, tvuna, and what's das.
So chachma is ma'asa lomed mi'acherim. Chachma is what we learn from others. So it's acquired knowledge. Tvuna is motzi davar mitof davar bedimyon. Tvuna, meaning bina, is when I extrapolate one thing from another using my creative intelligence, imagination, capability. So it's not just acquired, there's some level of analysis, if you will. And then das, ki mashim masig midaato. Das is something that I acquire, I figure out, I understand on my own. Okay, so three different types of ways of understanding. V'zeu sha'amru, so now, how does that all fit into our Mishnah? This is what our Mishnah means. In ein das ein bina. Ki me'achar she'ein lo yecholas lahasig uladas etzem hadavar mida'ato. Once I can't acquire knowledge from somebody else, I can't understand what other people are telling me. So if I don't have that capability, if I don't have any knowledge to start with, if yosi davar mitof dimyon davar, then how can I extrapolate? Right? I need some basic knowledge. I have to have acquired knowledge, some level of, you know, people talk to me, I hear it, I understand, and I can think about it and ponder and say, oh, how does this relate to what I thought about yesterday? How does this relate to what I learned about last week? But if I can't understand what people are telling me, then I can't work with it. So if give you an analogy, it's not exactly, but maybe it's similar. Has anybody ever heard of Walter Isaacson? So he's a biographer. He wrote the biography for Thomas Edison, for Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Franklin, Albert Einstein, Steve Jobs, and now he just did Leonardo da Vinci, I believe. Yeah. So he writes incredible biographies about creative people. And he was once doing an interview, and I think he was quoting Albert Einstein, but it could have been one of the other ones, maybe he made it up himself, I don't remember. But he said something along the lines of, you know, people always say, you got to think outside the box, right? They ask him, why do I need to go to college? Look at all these great, you know, inventors. They didn't go to college, they didn't learn that, they didn't. So he says, in order to think outside the box, you have to know what's inside the box first. So that's a similar, I think, metaphor to what's going on here. If you don't have the starting point, the ability to know what's inside the box, you then can't start thinking outside the box. And that's what the Mishnah means, that without das, you can't have bina. So next, the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yonah says, Shahadas kodem labina. Now remember, this is similar to points we made last week. The Mishnah itself doesn't explicitly tell us in order that one has to come before the other. The only way we could extrapolate or assume an order is just from the fact that he chooses one first and then the next one comes second. But he doesn't explicitly say that this has to, the Mishnah doesn't say this has to come before that. Rabbi Yonah here does tell us that there is an order. The das comes before bina, and the reason why he says that is because, again, I need a starting point to be able to acquire the knowledge. If he's understanding das as acquired knowledge, then I can start extrapolating with the bina. But now, what about the flip side? Why can't I have the acquired knowledge without the extrapolated knowledge? So why can't I just know, you tell me information, I hear it, I understand it. Okay, so I don't then go and analyze it, but at the end of the day, I have that acquired information. So why does the Mishnah say, according to his explanation, why does the Mishnah say I can't have that one without the other? I could have the acquired knowledge, I just won't be able to extrapolate. Okay, but I still have the acquired knowledge. According to the Mishnah, the way he's reading it, is that you can't have the acquired knowledge either. So why is that? So he says, uvelo das, e efshar lios lo bina. Without das, I can't have bina. And then, in ain bina, ain das. Last line, in ain koach lahavin advar midimyon davar machma she'ain bo das shleima lahasig uledato atzmo shel davar hahu itzmo shel davar hu. So he says, if I can't have the ability to fully analyze it, then I'm not going to understand the concept clearly in the first place, right? So even though I have the acquired knowledge, there's something lacking to that acquired knowledge. If I then can't manipulate that knowledge, if I can't extrapolate and think about that knowledge, then the original knowledge itself is deficient. So notice he's pulling another move here that's important for us to understand, because the move is that he, what word does he insert? Remember, we had this already 3 weeks in a row. What word does he insert to help make his point? Shlema. But you can't have the das shlema. Meaning, I could have some level of acquired knowledge. It's not that it's not there, but I can't have a perfected acquired knowledge unless I have the ability also to analyze. The analysis helps me then further cement the original knowledge into my brain. But I can have some level, but not a full level. And so that's how he deals with it. That's why you need both. Right? Right, so and that's the point. You have some level, but not a full level. You know, you might be able to spit it back on a test, but you wouldn't be able to then really fully, I wouldn't say you have 100% understanding of all of the information. Okay, so that's our venue on understanding. Yes? No. So chachma, maybe I misspoke. So chachma, let's get all three down. Because remember, there's three elements. One we did last week. That's the chachma and yira. So we pinned chachma and yira together. So he understands chachma as learning from others. Yes, I overlapped too many things at the same time. Chachma is what I learn from others. Tavuna, which is what we're talking about today, is the bina. That is the extrapolation. And then das, and I apologize, maybe we'll restate it because I misspoke. Das is what I understand on my own. So it's not that I heard from others, and it's not that I even extrapolated per se from what others said, is that I had some level of epiphany, some level of working through knowledge that I already have, I'm able to then understand something on my own. It's a little subtle. There is something of yourself involved to that, and it's not just acquired. So there seems to be some level of overlap. You're right, but it's a little bit unclear. And I think that as we go through this, oftentimes when we go through all the opinions, we come out more confused than we were to starting off with. It's going to happen this time for two reasons. Sometimes it just happens because there's so many different opinions, but this time it's also going to happen because they're using terminology, like educational terminology, that was based on medieval times and based on Talmudic times, and we don't really use that same language, So we're trying to put our own sort of, you know, things we learned in our education classes into what they're saying, and I'm trying to do that too, and I don't think I fully have a full grasp of it. I think that the way they use the terminology is just different than the way we use it. Maybe we need to do a little bit more delving into medieval academic, you know, education and all that stuff. But we're going to try. We're going to try. So let's see source number eight, the Meiri. I think the Meiri is going to be a little bit clearer. So he says here as follows: V'amar achar kach, ki im ein das ein bina. So ratza bo shahazug gam kein kol echad minifradav moel b'metzios havera. He says this follows the pattern of he understands this Mishnah, that each one of these pairs of this of these relationship pairs that we've enumerated, each one helps the other one to sort of, as I entitled the shir, is a symbiotic relationship. That they each can contribute to the fulfillment of the other one. V'hadas ha-ne'emar kan, al-hadas ha-mutva bo, b'koach l'fi toldoso. So he goes in a different direction. He says, das isn't different types of knowledge. Right? We're not talking about different types of knowledge. We're talking about how you got that knowledge. He says, das is what we would call nowadays a genetic predisposition. It's your disposition based on how you were born to how intelligent you might be. V'hu ha-nikra ha-chana tiv'is be'ikar ha-yitzira. It's what talents are given within you, what, you know, neural capacities you have in your brain at birth that could in theory be developed, but they might not be developed. Right, the DNA, yeah, genetic. I wouldn't use the word instinct, but something along those lines. Meaning it's based on what I'm born with. Now, v'hushi yakso. Correct. So he's talking about, we're going to now have to see how this it's related to nature versus nurture type of question. Let's see what he says on the flip side, and we'll put it all together. V'hushi yakso amitziuso anche kinesis agadola. Lashon Chanina, the Omram Atachonen La Adam Da. He says this is why when we come to Das and we say in davening, we say Chonen Da. What does it mean, Chonen Da? Because what is Chonen? God grants it to us. There's no input on my part for Chanina. It's I'm thank you God for giving me this natural capability that has nothing to do with me personally, but it's just what I was born with. He says that's why we say atah chonen la'adam das lirmoz ki eino ba behistadluso ela miderech haninaso yisbara be'ez hayitzira. It has nothing to do with my effort. It has to do with God giving me this skill, this talent, this capability. So that is das. So what is bina? V'habina hi ba'a derech histadlus limud v'chakira ke'omram umelamed la'enosh bina. So he says that bina is my effort, is my hard work, is me sitting down and me studying and me learning. That's what bina is. So das is the inherent capability. Bina is my ability to work on my own. And now he sort of sidesteps a little bit or backtracks. Says the afal pisha klalo es kulam besof divrayem. V'milas chanina. So remember, go to the bracha of Shmona Esrei. What do we say? We say atafo nein la adam da'as umelamed la enosh bina. Then it says chanenu me'itzacha. Then we say we use the lesson of chonein for all of them. Chanenu me'itzacha de'a bina v'haskel. So he just said chanina is for just the das because that's what I was born with. But then that's the beginning of the bracha. But the end of the bracha has chanina even with bina. So why is that? So he says again, va'afa pisha klalo es kulam besof divrayim b'milos chanina va'omram b'chaneinu me'itzecha de'a bina v'haskel amruzed derech klal liot lanu ezer eloki b'kula. So yeah, of course, God is involved with everything. Even our effort has some level of godly intervention to it. But on a sort of broad sense, it's more accurate, it's more true, it's more fully true to say that the das is fully in God's hands. That's just how I was born. I have no input into that. Now, in the end, we say, I put in work also, but remember that your work is also related to God's chanina, because you want to put in work, well, guess what? You just got the flu. So how much work are you going to put in? Right? So everything is related to God's input as well. So we say at the end, that the chonin relates to that. But in essence, the chanina relates more specifically to the das, because that is the genetic capabilities that's fully from God's hand. The alze amar. So now bring this now to our Mishnah. The alze amar in ein das. Right. So if I don't have das, wrote to lomar achana tibis lo yamitzios halimud shalim. Then obviously I'm not going to be able to fully learn and grasp things. If I have, because of whatever reason, a genetic predisposition to not be intelligent, no matter how hard I work, I might be able to move a little bit, but I'm not going to be able to, what he calls, shulling, to have full, broad, big, large intelligence. Again, there is an element of effort even in those cases, and if I work really, really hard, I'll get something. But most people, if they don't have the genetic capability, and I work really, even if I work really hard, I'm not going to get to shleimus. But he does leave an opening, though, by the way, for people who don't have the genetic capabilities to work really hard and still get shleimus. It sounds like that's what he's saying. Again, there might be exceptions to that rule, too, but he's saying that even without the genetic capabilities, through hard work, some people could overcome it and get to shleimus, but most people won't. Now, so that's why I need, if without das, that's the genetic predisposition, I'm not going to have bina. What about the flip side, right? In ein bina ein das, kolomar il malei she hakavana b'metzios hayel lahasig b'derech halimud, ma she'esu lahasig lo hunap ken b'tibo ki pol abatala eno b'chei kashem izbar. If you don't try hard, you don't work, then if you have all the genetic predispositions in the world, it's not going to help, right? So you have to combine. This is the essence of nature versus nurture. It's interaction. It's both. You need both. You need your nature, you need your nurture, they go together, you put your own work, you put your own hishtaglus in, and that's how you can obtain this shleimus. So that's the Me'iri. I like it because, again, it's sort of like a modern interpretation, but also I like it because it bypasses all of this nuance of this is what Bina is, and this is what Das is, it's this level of intelligence, and that level of intelligence, and this, you know, all the different, no, just straight, we're not talking about levels of intelligence, we're talking about genetics versus environment and how they interact together. Yeah, sorry.
You might see that when Pharaoh asked for Joseph, but Joseph comes in alone, that he leaves out Das is the most annoying of three, so this possibly fights the denial of Hashem, looking for administrative, but agriculture, the fact that this knowledge would come created by so-called Michel, the fact that he's denying Hashem, like the tribe would come.
Right, the genetic, taking away the God's genetic input in there. I hear, okay, very nice. Okay, good, so let's see source number 9, another interpretation here. And I think this will be also different, but it'll be a little bit easier to understand than the Rabbeinu Yonah. So the Medrash Shmuel says as follows. Source number 9. In ein das ein bina. So das yikra habchana ben tov l'ra. Now he goes a totally different way. Again, it's not talking about genetics versus environment, and we're not talking about levels of intelligence. We're actually talking about maybe what we would call a moral intelligence. Right? That das is the ability to distinguish between good and bad. Nobody said that yet. Good and bad. The livror ochel the solas mitoch solas vils mavten ben mar lamato. And now he adds some other elements here that I can pick what's good, not just necessarily morally, but what's, you know, edible versus what's non-edible. But that doesn't just mean for by food purposes, but it means just in general to be able to extract things that are important versus things that are not important. Ulios mavten ben mar lamato. And in order to distinguish between, you know, what tastes good, what's sweet, and what's bitter. So that's das. Basically, at its core, it's the ability to distinguish between things, but that includes the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. So what's bina? Ubina tikra lios maven davar mitok davar. So it goes back to something Rabbeinu Yonah alluded to before, slightly, that I can extrapolate one thing from another. So it's not distinguishing, but it's understanding something from something else. But Amar Hatana, im ein das, ein bina. Kilomar. If I don't have das, im ein das, livror hayasha. If I can't figure out what's right versus what's wrong, ezo hi asvara hayashara. What's the correct analysis? What's the correct logic? Afilu shia maven davar mitoch davar binabon, ein kan bina. Even if I could extrapolate one thing from the other, if I can't distinguish properly between one and the other, then I don't really have anything. I'm going to be distinguishing, I'm going to learn something from something else, but I'm also going to be based off of false premises because I couldn't figure out what's right and what's wrong in the first place. So just having this ability to analyze, we probably all know people like this who can sit there and analyze things to death, but don't actually get anywhere because they're starting off from the wrong starting point. And they don't really understand the core of what's right and what's wrong and what they're trying to analyze. So they're doing all this mental gymnastics, but it doesn't actually have, it's not rooted in anything in reality. It's like there's nothing there. Kevin delay slay brera, esher sheyiv chabara, v'yimas b'to, lo tovi lo abina klal. So your ability to extrapolate is irrelevant, doesn't do you anything, because you can't fully distinguish between what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what's positive, what's negative, what's helpful, what's unhelpful. So that's in one direction. What about in the other direction? V'yimyesh lo das, v'hadsen bein tov v'ra. V'yeda limos v'ra, u'bachar v'tov. So if I can distinguish and say that I'm going to pick good and I'm going to throw away the ra, about ein tvuna bo, l'hadsen davar mitov davar, but I can't then extrapolate and understand the depth, extrapolating one from the other, gam ze einenu shavet, so that also is not so great. So great, I distinguish between good and bad, but what does that do good? What good does that do for me? I can't think for myself. So basically, I can distinguish, but I can't think for myself. You want to tell me something? I can say, that sounds right, that sounds good, but I don't have any thoughts of my own. So if I didn't hear from my teacher, from my Rebbe, from my parents, or if I didn't hear from them what's good and bad, I wouldn't be able to figure it out on my own. It's as if it doesn't exist. Now he would agree that's better than nothing, and I think that there's gets back to the point that there's gradations here, that you could have some love, it's not terrible to have some level of knowledge. I'd rather have some level of knowledge of what's right and wrong for my parents and not be able to think for myself than not have that level of right and wrong to begin with, right? So you want to have, there's some level there, but it's not going to be complete. He uses a stronger language. He says, kamandalesa means it's as if there's nothing there. So he's pretty strong in his language. So I need both of these pairings of my ability to distinguish between good and bad, right and wrong, as well as then my ability to think on my own, to extrapolate, to learn one thing from the next, to be able to generalize from one case to the next case, that those two together are really important, and that's how our general thinking goes. Let's do the next paragraph. He's about to give us another explanation. There's just one explanation after the other, after the other, after the other. The Efsher Oath is going to be totally different. He's going to take it from a more religious perspective. Notice how nobody until this point said anything that you couldn't just get in a regular, again, education class, in a psychology class. It was just you're basically just teaching what are different levels of intelligences. So here, he's going to give a religious spin to it. The Efsher Oath of Farish, Bishinamar, Ki Das Yikra HaBekiyus VaGirsa B'Torah Shebal Peh. So what's Das? Das is oral law. My ability to understand the Torah Shebal Peh. V'alzeh tiknu v'amru atacho nein l'adam da'at v'chanina me'ito yizbarach ki uk me'girsa siyata d'nin shemaya. So this das, be able to understand this Torah learning, the Torah Shebal Peh, Mishnah, Gemara, etc., is from God. Right? There's a broader understanding here of intelligence, that all of intelligence comes from God. At least our ability to understand Torah. Ubina tikra b'shnei panim. He says bina means one of two things. Echad, lahabin davar mitok davar, as we saw, to understand something from something else, so to generalize, to extrapolate the power of deduction. And Beis, Lahavin HaDavar Atmo, Shigoreh, to understand the thing that I'm learning, Leza Perosh, Bahavana Ta'inyon. To understand basically the depths of what I'm learning. Varmar Atana, Im Ein Das, Ein Bina. The Tana says, if I don't have Das, which is this, Bikiyas in the Torah, meaning the understanding, the breadth of knowledge in the Torah, Ein Bina. If I don't have a base knowledge in Torah subject, ain bina. Kolamar lo yuchol lahavin davar mitol davar. Then I can't extrapolate. Then I can't think about one thing. So basically, I'll put this into psychology terms. So in psychology, we have two basic broad categories of intelligence. This is a big debate that's been going on for the past 120 years or so. But if you break down intelligence into two big categories, the two categories that you'll probably get to is what's called crystallized intelligence, which is what he seems to be saying here about the Bakir. It's my breadth of knowledge. It's how much information I know. How trivia questions, Jeopardy questions. How much information do I know? And then the second type of intelligence is what's called fluid intelligence. And that's my ability to reason, to create novel thoughts. And it seems to be what he's describing here, that in terms of, if you put it in Torah words, if I have a breadth of knowledge, when Chazal sometimes they call Sinai, right? Sinai is somebody who totally knows everything. You ask him a question in Mishnah and Raisas and Gemaras, and he knows where everything is, he remembers it by heart, he can tell you all the details. That's Sinai. And then the other sort of category in Chazal is somebody who's called an Oker Harim. Okara means somebody who uproots mountains. What does it mean that I uproot mountains? It means that I have that depth of analysis that I can totally understand something to its core and be able to extrapolate, to deduce, to add things, to push things, to generalize, etc. So in Chazal, the debate is what's better to have. Is it better to be a Sinai, to have this breadth of knowledge, this crystallized intelligence, or is it better to have this fluid reasoning, the ability to analyze and deduct? So anybody know what the Gemara says? The Gemara in Horus. Anybody remember? Six. Gemara says, Dave? No? What?
Gemara
The Gemara says, Sinai v'Oker Harim. When you're the question is, was placed in terms of who's better to be the leader of a yeshiva. Right? So who should be your leader? Should you get a Rosh Yeshiva who's a Sinai, who knows everything, so the students can ask him a question and he'll be able to answer the question just because he has such a breadth of knowledge, or is it better to have the guy who analyzes? So the Gemara says, Oker Harim, get a 50-50 shot. Sarite, you're wrong. Analyze? So the Gemara says, Sinai, breadth of knowledge. Why? Why does the Gemara say breadth of knowledge is better? Well, so that's an easy way out, to say once I have the breath, then I can do flu. But we're forcing, it's a forced choice question. You can't have both. It's either or, right? So the Gemara says that Sinai is better because without knowledge, right, how can you, without the breath of knowledge, and you can't have any shot at analyzing. But some say that that's changed over time. Right, so that was more important in the times of Chazal to have the breadth of knowledge. Why? Because things weren't written down. You didn't have Wikipedia. You didn't have Google. Right. So you couldn't just search things. So if you didn't have that knowledge, there was nowhere to go. There was nowhere to look. You weren't able to then do your research and figure it out. Either you had the knowledge or you didn't have the knowledge. So it was more important for students to have somebody to model. The model would be somebody who has all that knowledge and they could ask. Nowadays, it's argued by some that it's actually better to have the ability to analyze because, again, the information's out there. If you don't have the capabilities to think and to deduce and to generalize, then that's what's more important in the 21st century. But getting back to this question, right, so that let's apply that to what he's saying, and then I'll get to your point, Barry. Right? So he says here, so putting all that into this, we're in the third line, source number 9, second paragraph, third line, where he says, end of the line, Klomar, Lo yuchol lahavin davar mitov davar. If I don't have the base breadth of knowledge, then I can't analyze what Chippy just said before. K'mosh amru chazal, ligmar inish b'hadar lispar. Your first step, you want to talk about education, developmentally. First is breadth of knowledge. Get all the information. After that, you'll worry about analyzing. V'atam ki divrei Torah in aniyim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher. Because the way Torah works is that in one place you'll have a lot of knowledge or a lot of information, another place you'll have a little bit of information. You need to span your information. You need to scatter it to make sure that you have knowledge in all areas. V'amar, so that's in one side. So I need the breadth of knowledge. Without breadth of knowledge, then I have nothing to work with in order to analyze. So then what's the flip? In ein bina ein das, if I can't analyze, if I can't generalize, so also I might have all the information at my fingertips, but it's kaman delesa. Again, strong language, it's as if it doesn't exist. So I can't say anything of my own, I can't say anything of value. I'm just repeating, I'm spitting back. So that's his first explanation. And that's assuming that we're talking here about these two different types of knowledge. And then he gives a second explanation, because remember, Bina, he gave two explanations of Bina. First explanation was to extrapolate, lahavin davar mitov davar, and the second explanation was to have sort of self-intuited knowledge, lahavin adavar atmo shigoris, leidu peres rabbanas ha'enyos. So it's sort of like a full understanding on my own, which is a related concept. Let's just read his next line here. V'gam asher da'ayir b'mina b'ina ha'shenis, sh'amarnu sh'ilahavin ha'vanas ha'dvarim, to understand the depth, v'zek kivein, ma'shakas me'in b'ina e'in da'at, klamar, im'in b'ina, v'einu me'vina adam, perish oso ha'da'at, v'abekiyo sh'shona, v'ein bo zulasi kol dvarim levad, ma'yo'el oso ha'bekiyo. It's a similar idea. Basically, that depth of understanding, that my ability to understand things on my own, or extrapolate, generalize, however you want to formulate it, without that breadth of knowledge, it's going to be, it's going to be not going to have anything. I'm not going to be able to do anything. I'm going to be making stuff up. Right? I could. Sometimes this happens when students are learning Gemara, and there might be benefit to this. But they'll spend a day, 2 days, 3 days, a week breaking their heads over, what does this mean, and creating all these, sort of castles in the sky of knowledge, crazy chidushim. And then, you flip the page, and you realize that, no, none of that makes any sense, right? So, again, there might be benefit to doing such a thing, but in the real world, it's probably not such a great thing. So I've done this mental gymnastics. I've figured these things out. I've worked through problems, which is good. There's benefit to that. But at the end of the day, that's not how it works. You have to have that breadth of knowledge. If I knew that Gemara first, I just read the next page, then I might have, not about saving time, but it's about creating things that aren't actually true, not based in reality, there might not be such benefit to that. As he says, it's kaman delesa, it's as if it doesn't exist. Barry, and then we'll do one more. Yeah, exactly.
Learning style.
Right. Do you remember who was who? So there's Elazar ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Elazar ben Arah. Right. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was the. So who is who? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was the. Right, the Bor Sucha in Shana Ma'abed, but he didn't forget a job. He had the breadth of knowledge. And then Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was the. The Mayan HaMitzgaber, right? So he was the one who created all. And we did spend time, you're correct, we just spent time talking about similar concepts with that. So that's definitely related to this. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah seems to be saying, right, if you just broaden out for a second, is that you need both. Right? You need both. We should try to train students to do both. You might have to start with breadth of knowledge because that makes sense. But over time, we have to also be able to analyze. It's okay to be an expert in one, but even the expert in one has to be able to do the other as well. Let's do one more, and I think we're going to call it a day. What time is it now? 5:30. Okay, so we'll do one more, and then I think we're going to leave the Abarbanel. I don't even know if we're going to do it next week. We might just move on. So, Medrash Shmuel, paragraph 3. The Efser Shadas, can you have another explanation? This is totally different. The Efser Shadas Yikra Yedia Elyona Shieshbo Hatsaga Keinyan Vidas Elokim Timsa. So it could be, he says, that Das means this elevated knowledge. Now he's going to use these sort of Kabbalistic and mystical terms. So we saw medieval educational terminology. and now he's your intelligence terminology, and now he's going to go into a more mystical bent, that Das is this knowledge, this greater upper level knowledge, that I fully understand, like Das Elokim, Timsa, Kihu Masig Yediyas Elokim. I have this knowledge of God. So it's a divine understanding. Umegalin, not divine understanding, a understanding of the divine. Right? Umegalin lo raze Torah. And I understand the secrets, the depths. Umodiyin lo milamala. And they teach this to him from the top. Right? So meaning that there's some level of transmission going from the Olamos Elyonim down to you, that you have this mystical knowledge coming from, you know, God, from angels, from, you know, whoever is giving you or feeding you this knowledge. That's Das. Amnam, Bina, hu mashe mechadesh mitok pilpulo v'chidudo shemeven davar mitok davar. So it goes back to Bina being this self-generated knowledge, this ability to understand things, to extrapolate things, to generalize things. But Amar, so now, so those are my two things. I have this divinely inspired knowledge that comes from the top, and then I have this sort of self-intuited, understood knowledge that's coming from me. And now we need a symbiotic relationship between these two. So how does that work? So Amar, im ein das ein bina klomar. Lo yachshov ha'adam ki kol mashu meivin mitok pilpulo ki bekoach yado asa v'akol mitbunaso ki iafshar shlo yesham me'urav tzach masagil lo min ha'shamayim. Don't think, it's a message in humility, don't think that, oh, I'm so smart, I can't believe I thought about that, I can't believe that thought popped into my head, because there's some element, maybe not the whole thing, but there's some element that came from God. V'chein, im ein bina ein das, she'ein megalin raze Torah, el l'mishiyesh bo bina, kininyad chachmasa l'chachimen. So then on the flip side is that God's not going to, you know, if you sit back, you're watching TV all day, and then you're like, okay, God, send it down. You know, I'm waiting for that, for that Ruach HaKodesh to come and for you to tell me everything that I don't understand. It's not going to happen. Right? You have to have a breadth of knowledge. You have to be able to learn. And then when you learn, then maybe you'll get some divine inspiration as well. So God gives wisdom. He grants wisdom to those who are trying to be wise. Right? You have to have some level of wisdom in order for God to give you wisdom. V'gam kishashen isbarach mozia lo dvarim. So when God tells me something, or there's some sort of divine inspiration, im ein tzvuna bo lahavin gamar peser at dvarim she mozia moso, ein das kesher lozia lo adam ko advarim beprate pratim, ela rashe prakam levad, umanichim ktas ma sheavinu adam me'elav. And now this is also a fascinating point. So you can, if God gives you something, if you don't have the tools to understand it, you're going to miss it. And so how does it work that God, this is divine, and I don't understand how this works at all, but if we pretend to know what we're talking about for a second, right? So what does it mean that God gives you knowledge? Right? What does that mean that you're going to have this divine inspiration of knowledge? So he says here is that the way it works is that you don't get, like, you don't download software into your brain. It's not like you wake up in the morning and God, like, gave you this, you know, wow, now I understand that sugya. You know, now I understand that shir. Right? That's not how it works. He says that you get little bits and pieces. It's like a puzzle. It's almost like nevuah to some extent. Unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, who had nevuah that's clear about Baklara Meira, right? Moshe Rabbeinu saw it clearly. All the other nevi'im, at least the way the Rambam explains it, they saw little bits and pieces. Right? They didn't see a full picture. It wasn't that they were told exactly what to say and how to say it. Think about different things that Yirmiyahu saw. Right? So what did he see? Or Yeshayahu? I don't know, maybe, right? What's the which ones where they saw the I don't remember. Yirmiyahu. Okay, so I was right the first time. Right, so when they see all these random pieces of God asks them, what do you see? Right? He doesn't tell him what it is. It's not, again, it's not a download of information the way Nevuah works. It's that you see bits and pieces, and then the Navi has to interpret it on their own. Right? Zechariah, what is it? What did they say? It says, what do you see in the... We read for Hanukkah. What do you see? You see the menorah. Do you understand what you're seeing? No, I have no idea what I'm seeing. Right? That's how Nevuah works. He says that's how this divine inspiration works too. God gives you... Again, I don't... Never happened to me, so I don't know. Or at least I don't know if it happened to me. Maybe I'm the one who doesn't have the bina to understand it. Right? So God gives you these bits and pieces, and then you have to use your own seichel, your own wisdom, in order to put it together. Right? So that's why there's this symbiotic relationship. You can't have one without the other. In terms of, let's just recap, what have we seen? How is that true? And what elements is that true? So let's work backwards. So we just saw that it was true when it comes to this combination of my own self-intuited or understood knowledge, as well as this more secretive, mystical, godly given knowledge. I can't have one without the other. I need both in order for that to work. And then right before that, I need the breadth of knowledge of Torah Shebaal Peh, that Sinai, in order to be an Oker Harm, in order to analyze, and I need the ability to analyze in order to be the... to have the breadth of knowledge completely, and then working one back up. And the first explanation of the Medrash Shmuel is that in order to distinguish between good and bad, what's right and wrong, I also need the ability to have some level of self-analysis as well. That can't go just one without the other. And then the Meiri said that I talked about the nature versus nurture, that I have to have the genetic predisposition, and that goes along with my hard work, and I can't have hard work without genetic predisposition, or genetic predisposition without hard work. If I don't have both those together, then I'm not going to get this level of shlemos of knowledge. And then I'm not going to recap the Rabban Yonah, because I think we botched it, or I botched it a little bit, and then I think what he said was subsequently brought out in the other interpretations that we saw. So if you want to analyze that on your own, we could talk it out. We're going to leave the Abarbanel for now, and I think that we'll possibly come back to it at some point. But let's go next week to talk about In Kemah. Oh, 2 weeks. So next week, Rabbi David Form is coming. Everybody should come. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. He's a great speaker, and he's talking about Purim. He has a book on Purim. Highly recommend the book. I recommend all his books. So make sure you come next week, 9:15. Same place, and then we'll pick up in 2 weeks with Ein Kemach, Ein Torah. Okay, thank you.